Well, welcome to the Firm Foundation Christian Church Preaching Ministry. We're sort of ramping things up with regard to our internet preaching, and we also distribute these sermons in CD form. And today is Thursday, April the 2nd. And our sermon text today is taken from Luke chapter 12 in verse 40. Luke chapter 12 and verse 40 reads, "Therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour you do not expect." This is the conclusion of the Lord's teaching on the faithful servant and the evil servant. So let's get our text in its context. We'll begin reading in Luke chapter 12, verse 35, and we'll take it all the way to Luke 12, 40, and then we'll make our applications. Luke chapter 12, beginning in verse 35, reads, "Let your waist be girded and your lamps burning, and you yourselves be like men who wait for their master, when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly I say to you that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat, and will come and serve them. And if he should come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." So we have our three applications. The first is readiness. The second is instruction and awareness with regard to the certainty of the second coming of Christ. And the third is the imminence, not only of the second coming, but by way of application of many, many events in our lives. So first, readiness. Prepare to meet your God. This is the scriptural advice that we find back there in the book of Amos. You know, I hope that you have been spending much time in preparation of that day. But if you have not, then today is the day to start preparing. Make sure that you are saved, so that if the Lord returns today, you will be found fit for entrance into heaven. For the scripture says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And what are we called to believe? Well, we're called to first admit that we're sinners in need of a Savior. And we put our faith, we trust upon the work of Jesus Christ at the cross, that he died and shed his blood to pay the penalty for our sins, and that that blood is sufficient to satisfy the wrath of God against us. And we trust that he is risen from the dead, and that he was telling us the truth when he said that where I go, you will be also. You know, the Apostle John writes, "These things I have written to you, that you believe, that you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God." So here, spiritual readiness. That's initially making your peace with God, making sure that you're justified, making sure that you have salvation, coming to that foot of the cross and asking God to save your soul on the basis of those things that we just read. And on the authority of God's word, God will indeed do that today. He'll do that right now for you if you will only believe and trust him. Now, we move to the next part of spiritual readiness, which deals with sanctification. You know, I'd seen a picture of a church billboard that said, "Wash your hands," and the the church was encouraging folks to practice some good personal physical hygiene. But even more than this, it got me to thinking that we ought to be practicing some good spiritual personal hygiene, to be practicing some personal sanctification, being set apart from the world for God's service. Now we read back in 2 Chronicles chapter 31 in verse 18, to all who are written in the genealogy, their little ones and their wives, their sons and daughters, the whole company of them, for in their faithfulness they sanctified themselves in holiness. Now, this is a reference to a particular event in the history of Israel. 2 Chronicles is a history book. But we can apply this to the Lamb's Book of Life. You know, here we read that those who are written in the genealogy sanctified themselves in Israel. But what about those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life? We can sanctify ourselves in holiness for God and set us ourselves apart for His service today. Well, how might we practice personal sanctification? We don't have to guess or go too far to see. We know that we can practice personal sanctification by attending carefully to God's Word. Jesus says, sanctify them by your truth. Your Word is truth. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. You know, the best way to be ready is to live close to the Lord, praying always. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming. He's coming. This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. Sure as the Word became flesh and dwelt among us in His first advent, He is coming back in all of His glory. And in Revelation chapter 19, beginning in verse 11, we have words that speak hope to the believer, to the Christian who is ready and who is looking forward to the return of his or her Lord. Revelation 19, 11 through 16 reads, now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. This is the second coming of Christ, and we're going to be right behind the Lord on white horses. And now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with the rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You know, this is good news for his friends, but this is exceedingly bad news for his enemies. Jesus is coming soon. No one knows the day or the hour, but we know that his second coming is sooner than it was yesterday. And we also know that his return is imminent. In other words, Jesus Christ, when he comes back, is going to come back all of a sudden. So let's reread our text at this point as we proceed to our third point of application. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Who among you on March 1st, 2020, expected a COVID-19 disease outbreak in the United States that would sicken many people and disrupt every aspect of our lives? But yet, here we are, worshiping first in handfuls, and then, because of protocols, no longer able to offer in-person worship services. Well, no longer able because it wouldn't be wise from a health perspective. It's not as if the state, the government, is singling out and persecuting Bible-believing churches. These rules apply to everybody, and these things being so, we ought to be looking out for the public good. Now, lots of things happen unexpectedly every day, some great and some small. But surely we expect death, as it is appointed for men to die once. Maybe we don't think about it. Maybe we don't think about expecting it. But surely as we were born, surely we shall return to dust. Surely we can expect judgment of God. That same scripture that I just read, and as it is appointed for men to die once, finishes this way: but after this, the judgment. And you can find that scripture in Hebrews chapter 9, in verse 27. And now I'd also like to read an extended passage from the Gospel of John. In the 5th chapter, beginning in verse 24, we read, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. Most assuredly I say to you, the hour is coming and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation." And we know from other places in the scripture that it's not about works. We don't get to heaven because of our works. But Jesus Christ's goodness is imputed to the one who believes upon him and trusts him in faith. And so it is on the basis of our belief and trust in Jesus Christ that we gain entrance into heaven. It is of grace and not of works, so that no man may boast. Now we know these things must be, but do we often await them in earnest expectation? We seldom await things such as this in earnest expectation. But yet sometimes death, our enemy. Do you know that the Bible actually calls it that? Sometimes comes predictably, a terminal illness, for example. And sometimes it comes suddenly. But you know what seems like it's almost always true? It always seems to come at an hour you do not expect. If you are a believer in Christ, then you share in His victory over death. But if not, then you shall pass from this life into a darker, exceedingly terrible death. An eternal, spiritual death. Now I'd like to read to you a story, a warning from the 13th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. There were present at that season some who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answered and said to them, "Do you suppose that these Galileans were worse sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Of those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse sinners than all other men who dwell in Jerusalem? I tell you no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." The Son of Man is coming. He's coming back to earth someday. And if he tarries, then one day, even death, our enemy, shall come to call. But if you believe, you shall be ready. On the other side of this life, there are two judgments, two different kinds of judgments that await. The first is what's known theologically as the Bema Seat Judgment. This is the victor's judgment, where God will sit on His throne and He will dispense rewards to those who have entered into heaven. And we find this in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 11 through 15. "For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." So this victor's judgment, this Bema Seat judgment, is a judgment for believers only. Those who have Christ as the foundation of their faith. "Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it." This is the Bema Seat Judgment Day. "Because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire." Now, it is not the person who is going to undergo fire. It is the works which will undergo a refining fire, a test. And so those who put their faith in Christ but really never did anything with it, they'll still have their fire insurance. And they'll still enter into heaven. But those who have taken those things that Christ has given them and used them for His glory and the furtherance of His kingdom on earth are going to be recognized in heaven. And I don't know about you, but I want to be somebody who's sitting there hearing, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And when He gives me those rewards, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to cast him right at his feet. Because I didn't earn those rewards. But boy, what a joy it would be to hear that. What is the estimation of your life that Christ will have, believer? Take that as a challenge, friends, to redeem the time to the utmost for the furtherance of the kingdom of God. So we've got that victor's judgment that's for believers. This is up in heaven. But there's also something called the Great White Throne Judgment. And this is for unbelievers. And we read about it in the book of Revelation. See, what's going to happen to the unbeliever is the unbeliever's spirit at death is going to go into the place of torment. And they're going to wait through the time, the spirit is going to wait through that time in that place until the 1,000-year millennial kingdom of Christ is over, and then that spirit is going to be reunited with the body, and then that person is going to go in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 11, and they're going to appear before the great white throne of God. Not the Bema seat, but the great white throne judgment. Revelation chapter 20, beginning in verse 11. And then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, and from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works, by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. And then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Friend, you don't want to be in that place. So you know what to expect, though. We all know what to expect. The Bible tells us so. But we don't know when to expect it. So friends, today, now more than ever, even in the midst of these chaotic, turbulent, plague-ridden times, let us be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Lord God, we pray that you use this sermon, that you use this ministry, that you use all Bible-believing gospel ministries to reach many different folks in many different spiritual states. May the faithful Christian be encouraged, Lord God, we pray. May the slumbering Christian, the confused Christian, arise from their lethargy and get serious about the business of prayer and Bible reading and Bible study and become attendant to God's Word. And Lord, you know, if there are any who have come to this message and came hearing as skeptics or unbelievers or seeking truth, desperate to find hope in the midst of these fearful, turbulent times, Lord, that such a one may find that hope in Jesus Christ and believe upon him and be saved. Lord God, we thank you that you hear and heed and answer our prayers according to your perfect will. Lord, may you bless all in the hearing of this message. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.